The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is sponsored by OmniDust Flex, the latest all-purpose agricultural powder from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. OmniDust Flex can be used for almost any purpose. One of your calves is underweight? OmniDust. Need to disinfect a wound? OmniDust. Want to season a bolognese? OmniDust. Containing gypsum, dehydrated krill, and byproducts from the production of industrial lubricant, OmniDust Flex is antibacterial, it's zinc-rich, and it's illegal to use within the European Union. For 10% off your first sack or tub of OmniDust Flex, use the code FOR DUST YOU ARE AND TO DUST YOU SHALL RETURN.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the podcast companion to the Beef and Dairy Network website and a printed magazine, brought to you by OmniDust Flex. Now, before we start the podcast properly, I just want to bring in Kyla, my production assistant, who works tirelessly behind the glass every month.
Hang on, what? I'm a producer, not a production assistant.
So we don't usually hear from the team behind the glass, but a big congratulations are in order for us all here at the Beef and Dairy Network because we won the Bronze Award last night in the Best Livestock-Focused Podcast category at the Agri-Media Awards, which took place this year, of course, at the Montgolfier Golf Hotel and Golf Course and Golf Course in Bracknell. It was brilliant to pick up that award, and while it was me who attended the event, I just want to say that I couldn't do it without the people who work behind the scenes.
But we didn't win, did we?
Well, we didn't get the top prize. That went to the Pork Brothers podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Sorry?
It's such a good podcast.
What?
No, don't worry about it. It's just one of my things, one of my favourite things.
You should be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I make this podcast. Why would I listen to it?
Right, so the Pork Brothers took gold. Dr. Binnery's Poultry World Roundup got silver. Well done, Dr. Binnery. Lovely to see you last night. And we took home the bronze.
So we came third.
That's a podium finish.
Well, I mean, how many podcasts entered?
Three.
So we came last.
We had some lovely comments from the judges. I can read. They wrote, "The fact that the ailing Beef and Dairy Network podcast continues to limp on despite their huge financial difficulties, including a much-publicised grain debt to the actor Ted Danson, is credit to their almost delusional tenacity in the face of mismanagement." Which I think is really thoughtful, really lovely.
Hang on a minute. The podcast's in trouble, like, financially.
Well, I don't know if a huge grain debt to an actor counts as financial.
Is that why none of us have been paid for 3 months?
No, that's an admin thing. Now, Kyla, to celebrate our big win...
We came last!
I asked you to sort out a very special interview, someone I've been wanting to speak to for many years now.
Yeah. Okay. I actually did manage to sort this out, so, you know, kind of makes all the other bullshit worth it. I managed to, because I'm good at my job, I lined up a big interview with former German Chancellor and towel enthusiast Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel, yes. Yes, this is the one we've been waiting for. Thank you, Kyla.
You're welcome. Maybe pay me. So she should be waiting by the phone, I reckon, so...
Hello, this is the actor Ted Danson.
Kyla, hang up!
I'm not sure what happened there, sorry.
Yeah, can you please... Let's call through to Angela Merkel, please, Kyla.
I'm going to give that a go. I'm going to try again, okay?
Hello, this is the actor Ted Danson.
Sorry, did you say Ted Danson?
That's right, the actor Ted Danson.
Hang it up.
I'm hanging up. Is that actually Ted Danson?
Well, it does sound like him, certainly. I'm just holding on to the idea that maybe Angela Merkel is an incredible mimic.
Yeah, she sort of doesn't really give off that vibe, though, does she?
No. Kyla, the phone is ringing inside the studio. Kyla, is that you ringing that?
No, it's not even plugged in. Hang on, I don't know why that's happening. That's so weird.
What should I do?
Pick it Nancy.
Hello?
Hello, this is the actor Ted Danson. Is everything okay?
Hi, Mr. Danson, hello.
Oh, all right, there you are. Okay, but listen, please, call me Ted.
Ted. Thank you for calling, Ted.
You're welcome. Listen, I think there's some trouble on the line. Of course, unless you hung up on me. Did you hang up on me?
No, of course not.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, why would you hang up on me?
Yeah, why would I hang up on you?
Well, actually, you know, unless you're a bit worried about me. What do you think? I mean, you and I, we've got a little debt to settle, don't we?
Oh, that. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, sorry, it's so small, it actually slipped my mind entirely. That debt is insignificant, small.
Small? You just said small?
Small amount, yeah.
Huh. So, like, what do you think? Like 460 million tons of grain? Small? That kind of small?
Is it that much?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
460 million
tons. And it's rising.
Tons.
Yes, it is. Don't interrupt me again. And it's rising with interest. And sure, yeah, that's a small amount of grain for someone like me. But for you, the likes of you, it's potentially catastrophic.
Right. Catastrophic is the word you'd use.
Yes, I would. See, it's just the people who don't pay me back my grain. They start to experience things. Maybe they're, you know, plagued by dogs everywhere they go, or followed by a constant sound of ringing bells. Or suddenly they can never find a parking space when they go to the store. Or maybe their house is on fire.
Look, the thing is, Ted, these debts, the grain debt, it's not our only debt, okay? Like, we also, for example, owe quite a lot of euros to the government of Estonia.
Hey, you know what? Maybe I should let you in on a secret. I am the government of Estonia.
Really?
Yes, really. And other places. For example, Puerto Rico. Look, I'm not an unreasonable man. I have a lot of goodwill for you and your pork podcast.
It's beef.
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 Listen, I don't want you to be saddled with all this grain debt for the rest of your life.
Really? So you'll forgive the grain debt?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You'll forgive the grain debt.
That's what I thought you said. No. No, actually, you'll have until the end of this podcast to return all 460 million tons to one of my grain silos in California.
Ted, please.
Oh, yeah, listen to me, son. You are making me emotional. And when I get emotional, I start ringing my bell. And you don't want that to happen. Trust me, ringing my bell and redding my crows.
Not the crows, Ted, for God's sake.
More crows than you'll know what to do with. Give me my grain.
Wow.
Wow, he is so charming, isn't he? What do you think?
Were you not listening to that? I think he threatened to burn down my house.
He's just got this effortless Hollywood quality, do you know what I mean? Like, so smooth, but not trying to be smooth, you know?
Kyla, were you not listening to what he just said? We've got less than an hour to come up with 460 million tons of grain. How much grain do you have?
None, obviously.
Come on, you must have some.
Okay, tell you what, I'm going to have a look around the office and see what I can find. You introduce the interview, okay?
Okay. So, last month, the UK Parliament lifted its ban on the use of cow's teeth in cosmetic dentistry. Oh. Hang on. I'm getting a phone call, but my phone's on aeroplane mode. Hello?
Hi, this is Melanie Hancatch from Hancatch PR.
Oh, Melanie, I've not heard from you in years. Is everything okay?
No, everything is bad. You don't understand. Ted Danson kidnapped me in 2021. I've been living in his crawl space in the floorboards ever since. He lured me. He lured me with handsome traps, and now I can't get out.
Melanie, is this true? Are you pulling my leg?
Look, He thinks that I'm responsible for your grain debt. It's all he hollers about, hollering around day and night. Please, I beg you, just pay the debt. All I did was be your PR person for 2 weeks. He never even paid the bloody invoice.
Well, let's not talk about that. That was an admin problem.
Well, I did send it to your Gmail and your Hotmail, and I didn't get a bounce back. So I'm pretty sure you did receive it.
Hang on. So you're saying that you're living under Ted Danson's floorboards?
Not by choice. Not by choice. I've been trying to find my way out. You have no idea the kind of place Danson can build with time and effort and heft, which we both know he has.
Melanie, I'm serious. This better not be some sort of prank.
You think this is funny? Do you understand the kind of life I've been living? There are underground passages, the like of which I've never seen. The libraries, there are so many books, and none of them have pages. I keep trying to rearrange them. He says, no, they're organised by heat.
Melanie, if this is real, we have to get you out of there. Have you tried to escape?
Have I tried to escape? There are rats down here, the size of horses, and yes, I have trained some. They answer to my call, but many do not. Many do not heed me, and let me tell you, that's made me weird.
Melanie, do you want me to call the police? Would that help?
Oh, for goodness sake, call the police, he says. Call the police. Wake up, sunshine. Danson is the police. He's the police. He's the ambulance. He's bloody Alexa. He's everywhere. I've heard the calls. When he says he will ring his great dark bell, you have to listen. That is not an empty threat. And if the horn of Danson sounds, we are all perish.
Melanie, he mentioned setting his crows on me. Was that an empty threat? Was that bravado?
Wait, the crows are ready. Oh, no. He's been talking about those crows for years. I never thought he'd actually do it. You don't understand. These aren't ordinary crows. They're as big as houses. They're angry. They're mad. They're all different colours. I mean, they are quite beautiful, but they will peck you until there is naught left to peck. Oh, God. He's coming. I can hear his foot. He's coming, please. I beg of you. Just repay. Repay the debt. Repay the debt!
Okay, that was Melanie Handcatch, who is for a very short period our PR person. Hope she's okay. So as I was saying, last month the UK Parliament lifted its ban on the use of cow's teeth in cosmetic dentistry at long last. So I spoke to someone who is at the heart of the movement to legalise it, the dentist Richard Gibbons.
Hello, my name is Richard Gibbons, and I am a dentist.
Richard, thank you so much for coming on the show. Let's kick off by asking you, why dentistry? What got you interested in the first place?
I suppose it's the thing I'm most drawn to, really, is the smile. I think you can tell everything about somebody just by looking at their smile. What they're thinking, what they've been through.
Especially if what they've been through is a punch in the mouth.
Absolutely. You're getting me excited now because, of course, that is my bread and butter. I live for reconstruction. Reconstruction of a punched mouth.
Now, the reason you're on the show today is because in that situation where someone comes in having maybe taken a cricket bat to the face,
sure,
or a shot put.
It happens. We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it happen, but I've seen the results of what happened.
I mean, just before we go on, what's the worst thing you've ever seen launched into someone's face?
Oh, my word. I think it would have to be 12 bowling balls. Somebody got their tie stuck in the automatic returning mechanism in a bowling alley, and they didn't get free until 12 people had bowled their frames.
Mm.
And so it was repeated trauma to the exact same area. And my God, it was like, have you ever dropped a microwave ready meal onto a supermarket floor? Anyway.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you, Richard, was because when you are reconstructing these faces that have been hit with a bowling ball 12 times, the reason you're getting those incredible results is that you're using cow teeth.
That is correct, yes.
Which has been illegal until last month. Finally, the bill went through Parliament. You were instrumental in the campaign to get the ban on cow teeth in dentistry repealed. For a start, can I say congratulations?
Thank you very much. It's been a hard-fought campaign, and I'm just thrilled that in the end, the right side won.
The right side did win, but not before you had to do some time in prison.
That's true, I did. I did, but I don't regret a moment of it. The law was wrong, and in the end, I was vindicated. I believe, the law disagrees, but I believe I now have 18 months in lieu for a future crime because the law has now been changed. And so I would not have gone to prison for fitting cow's teeth into the human mouth. And so it's a very exciting opportunity now that I can continue to practice without going to prison every single time.
But also knowing you've got that 18 months in the back pocket for you to
Absolutely.
Do whatever you want.
Well, not whatever I want. A crime up to 18 months. Or several crimes, several small misdemeanors adding up to 18 months.
A nice little package, yeah.
Yeah, be nice. You know, if I get bored and fancy a bit of shoplifting, then I know I'm covered.
And so at what point did you start experimenting with animal teeth? Obviously, the ban has been in place since the Victorian times. So anytime you were doing this illegally at the time.
Technically, we found workarounds. I mean, if you can find the animal teeth in an antique shop or charity shop, then they're fair game. So I experimented with a lot of ivory pianos in the early days, or you can actually find a lot of monkey teeth necklaces if you know where to look on eBay. And these were better than porcelain, I have to admit, but they were not adequate for what I had imagined, what I dreamt of.
During the campaign, one of the things that stood out and that people were surprised by, I think, was the fact that you claimed that at any one time, over 75% of Hollywood actors have cow's teeth rather than human teeth. And that your point was that really, we've got used to that look now through Hollywood, through popular culture, in the same way that, you know, we know that in Hollywood films, you know, the majority of close-ups on an actress's eyes, they'll swap in a cow's eye.
That's right. Yeah.
For those close-up shots. And that really, what we think of as being a beautiful mouth of teeth is cow's teeth. Is that true, 75%?
I think it's probably about 75%. I mean, Hollywood has been doing this in secret for quite some time. Because, of course, your look as a Hollywood star, it's an arms race, isn't it? You fight any way you can for that inch to get ahead of your competitors. And so cow's teeth actually started to seep into the Hollywood look, I think as early as 1967, 68, the right. first ones. I mean, they weren't the work we can do now, of course, but they have a quality to them that sparkles. And they are slightly larger than human teeth, and so it draws the eye without the spectator necessarily knowing why. And it means that the smile is enlarged.
And we all know that look, and it's a wonderful look. But there are reports of various people, actors and non-actors, undergoing procedures where maybe the person installing the teeth isn't a qualified dentist, is maybe their dad who has just bought a new drill and wants to try it out. Have you seen evidence of this?
I have seen the results, and I'm afraid amongst would-be Hollywood actors, it's particularly common. People who want to try and look the way, but they're not quite commanding the salaries of other actors yet. You see, a lot of daytime TV actors, you can see they are cow teeth. They'll be third or fourth hand. Who knows whose mouth they've been in? Many of them went through Val Kilmer at one time, but they won't have been correctly implanted, and it does give a haunting look.
You mentioned there people installing teeth that had previously been used by Val Kilmer. That's another practice that people have questions about. There's a big trade now in teeth that have formerly been in a Hollywood actor. In your practice, if you've, you know, whipped out the teeth of an A-lister, what do you do with those teeth? Are you selling them on?
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. I mean, certainly we don't profit from the wastage. I have heard rumours that it happens in other practices. Yes, that there's quite a high markup on actors' teeth.
Because the rumour is, of course, that these days, I think it's Johnny Knoxville from Jackass.
Right.
Obviously, he's no stranger to getting his teeth knocked out.
No.
His current set of teeth are Billy Zane's original teeth from before he got his cow teeth.
Well, that's interesting, because I'd heard they're Billy Zane's first set of cow teeth, actually. And Billy Zane's original teeth, pre-Titanic we're talking here, probably talking Phantom when he had his original teeth, are actually lost to history.
Right.
They've gone missing. But there are collectors who would be able to tell you this stuff. Like there are databases charting whose teeth go where.
More after this. Bruce Springsteen is coming to Cardiff, which is the city where I live, this summer. I'd like to see him. But when it comes to concerts, I'm one of those people that sort of, I always find out they're happening after they've sold out somehow. Do you know what I mean? And now all the tickets are gone. And I'm always reminded that if you want to buy tickets for something like that, you need to like set your phone alarm to buy tickets the minute they go on sale, or, you know, and buy them months in advance. And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. So what's the best way to do that if you're hiring? ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/beef. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/beef. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Kyla, where are we with the grain situation? Have you made any dent in the 460 million tonnes?
A little dent. I had a look around the office and I found some old bird seed, so I reckon that might count.
Is that
as grain?
Is that grain? Is seed grain?
Well, I think it could potentially come under that category if we sort of broaden the category out.
Right.
It's been opened, but, you know, there's still a bit in there.
So. Okay. And how many million tonnes of bird seed grain do we have?
Well, it's like half a packet, so.
Oh, God. Oh, God, this will be dancing. Oh, God, 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 God! Fuck!
Hello? Hello? This is the actor Ted Danson. How are things going? How are they coming along?
Ted, look, we've had a look, and we found a packet of birdseed at the back of a cupboard. It's opened, but it's mostly full.
What? That is not good enough, my friend. I need that grain. The loaves must be made. The loaves must be made today. What part of this aren't you understanding?
Ted, listen, I've given it some thought, and I don't think it's feasible or even fair for you to ask me to get you several hundred tons of grain.
I am ringing my bell. Now, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Listen to that low and foreboding bell.
Come on, Ted. For God's sake, it's not fair.
I will plow your studio.
Please don't plow my studio, Ted.
You've got 10 minutes, and then I plow your studio.
He's just got a certain je ne sais quoi, do you know what I mean?
Kyla, what is wrong with you? Were you not listening to that?
Yeah, I was. Loved it. Every second of it.
That was the most threatening phone call I've ever received, and I once played a gangster in a stage production of Taken.
He's just so cool without even trying, you know?
Kyla, can you go and find some grain, please? We've got, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, fine. I'll have a little mooch around and see if any comes up. I mean, I don't think it's very likely, but I'll give it a go.
Oh, what now? Hello?
Oh, the bell! The bell is tolling! Oh, my God, please, please tell me you've repaid him. Why would the bell sound? Why can I hear it echoing through the chambers of Danson? Please tell me it's paid!
Melanie, sorry, well, no, we haven't yet paid the grain debt. And yes, Danson did tell me that he was ringing his bell. I mean, when he was threatening the bell, it certainly sounded threatening. When he was ringing the bell, I mean, it was fine, to be honest, but yeah, he sounds angry.
You don't know what you know what you've done. You can't see what I see. The great statues begin to move. Oh God, the golden pools full of fish, their cow's teeth gnashing. It's a splashy, gnashy chorus where I am. Oh, the bell, please. Oh, it sounds in my eyes, in my brain. It's too late. He comes. He comes.
Melanie, is everything okay? Look,
Oh, God! The great tolling! The xylophones of hell! The chorus begins! The oboe! The wretched oboe! You don't understand what you have awoken here this day! The music of the damned! He is coming and there's nothing to be done.
Melanie, look, we are trying our best to source some grain. It may not be the 460 million tonnes that he wants, but I think we can offer him something and hopefully that will do something for you and for him.
There's nothing left. I look down upon my cursed hands as they turn to corn. I become him. He becomes me. I am Danson. Danson is this. I love you, Danson. Let me become a statue in your army. Put me to work, master. Let me destroy the beef and dairy network.
Oh, come on, Melanie, for God's sake.
March. We must march for Danson.
I mean, come on. Sorry about that. I guess it's time to go back to my big interview with dentist Richard Gibbons. On the Network website, we asked Network members to submit their questions for Richard, and I put some of them to him. Starting with this question from Freddie in Glasgow, who writes, "Hello Richard, I would like to get a huge pair of clomping cow's teeth put in my face, but I'm scared of the procedure. Can you explain it to me?"
Absolutely. Well, for starters, you have all the time in the world. Okay, we are there for you, and so you'll come in. You'll have a cup of tea, cup of coffee. We'll talk everything through with you. Any concerns you might have, and then it's full anesthesia. You'll be out cold. At which point we will remove the skin from your lower jaw, delicately putting it in little piles on either side, so it'll fold right back. The jaw is then removed entirely and rinsed. We will then take out the teeth from the bottom jaw, whilst my assistant will do the teeth that are still left in your head. And that's when we start adding in the cow teeth. Now, the jaw is done first, because it's actually slightly more delicate, adding in the top row of teeth as we're so close to your brain. The procedure involves drills and ratchets, and the lower jaw is placed back in. The muscle is re-knitted around the jaw. The skin is replaced, and then it is sewn up just under the earlobes. The whole thing disappears into just behind the ear. And if you don't have earlobes, that's fine. We can make some for you. And that's it. You will then wear a bandage around the lower half of your face for 6 to 18 weeks, depending on how fast you heal. But we insist we are there when the bandages are removed, because we like to see the effects of our handiwork, but just in case, the rare cases where something's gone wrong, we really need to take that mirror off you very fast.
Other questions we've had from our listeners ahead of this interview. This one from Chloe in Durham. Is it true that getting a set of cow teeth mean that it'll affect your accent and you can start sounding a bit Spanish?
A little bit Spanish. I mean, if you want to sound Spanish, I wouldn't recommend the procedure. It's not guaranteed. But you might start to sound a little bit, not Latin American, mainland Spanish. We talk through that in the T's and C's before, usually. But most people have no problem with that.
I guess there's a certain kind of Latin romance that comes with the accent. And maybe, you know, when paired with those beautiful cow teeth, that's creating a pretty irresistible package.
I think so. I can see why so many people have been enchanted by this latest trend, you know. I'm just along for the ride. I don't push this on anyone who isn't ready for the cow smile. But my God, it's intoxicating when you look at it. Wow.
Well, Richard Gibbons, thank you so much for talking with me today and taking time out of what must be a busy schedule. I assume you've got a procedure this afternoon?
Yes. My assistant's just talking through the T's and C's with Keir Starmer, who is having the process done. So fingers crossed, it clinches it for him.
Yes. Well, best of luck to you and to Sir Keir. Thanks for chatting with us today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And Richard, final question. Do you yourself have cow's teeth?
Absolutely not, no.
A big thank you to Dentist Gibbons for that interview, which brings us to the end of the show. Kyla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
You haven't managed to get hold of 460 million tonnes of grain, have you, in the last few minutes?
No, sorry. But I did find a cereal bar in my handbag. Let me have a look. It's got oats, wheat, chocolate pieces, yogurt, and pork. It's an official Pork Brothers podcast cereal bar. Yeah, so cool. They've got so much great merch.
Great. Okay. Well, I better ring Ted Danson and let him know that we can't pay him back. I feel like a man walking to the gallows. He's not actually going to plough the studio, is he? Oh, Kyla, put me through.
Hello, this is the actor Ted Danson.
Hi, Ted. Listen, let's get this over with. I haven't got your grain. And moreover, I don't think I'm ever likely to. I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate your candor. Tell you what, perhaps we can come to some sort of arrangement.
Really? What kind of arrangement?
I assume this podcast of yours is listened to by several tens of millions of people?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, I can extend your grain loan for, a year, as long as you allow me to use your platform to advertise my new venture, the Ted Danson Grain Bank of America.
Is money a little tight right now? Having trouble keeping food on the table? Then you need the Ted Danson Grain Bank of America. Do you know how much raw grain the average American family owns? It's none. And that's a national tragedy. So why not borrow some grain today from one of our friendly silos?
We needed help paying our bills, so we spoke to the Ted Danson Grain Bank of America, and then we got all this barley. Ugh, I think it's barley. It's not helped at all. And our house is plagued by mice. And they've attracted all these cats. And they've attracted a wolf. Oh, God, there's the wolf! Dennis! Dennis! I swear I'll divorce you if you don't at least try to get that wolf. I don't know. Try and strangle it. Oh, great, now it's got Dennis. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Or better yet, take the wolf. Or for heaven's sakes, take the barley.
Ted Danson can see a future where grain replaces the dollar. A currency without government interference. A currency you can trust. A currency you can feed directly to a pig. But don't just take it from me. Here's the man himself, the actor Ted Danson.
I have a vision for the future. Each grain, a tiny battery, filled with the power of the sun. And I will have the grain in my hands. And I will have the sun in my hands. And I will be Lord of the Sun. And I will be Lord of the Sun. Of the Sun. Of the Sun. If you're hearing this and want to buy into a future you can trust, then go to www.teddansonsgrainbankofamerica.com. It's the currency you can eat.com. Thank you.
Ted? Ted? I think he's gone. So, I guess that's all we've got time for this month. If you're after more Beef and Dairy news, get over to the website now, where you can find all the usual stuff, as well as our off-topic section, where this month we run down how to represent yourself in court using song. So, until next time, beef out. Thanks to Linnea Sage, Susan Harrison, David Reed, Natasha Hodgson, Mark Turetsky, and Ted Danson.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Diablo 4.
Final Fantasy 16.
Street Fighter 6.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Starfield.
Spider-Man 2.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.